Hey guys, you're tuned in to Ordering Self-Love with me, Dani, and I'm here with Dr. Adara Landry, who also has a master's in education. And today we're going to talk about the indispensable impact mentorship can have on one's success. So before we dive in, I'm going to introduce her properly. Dr. Adara Landry, an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School, who studied and trained at the University of California, Berkeley, University of California, Los Angeles, New York University, and Harvard, with almost a decade of experience mentoring students and early career professionals. She's an entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and award-winning mentor. Dr. Landry co-founded Writing in Color, yes, a nonprofit that teaches the craft of writing, and a business self-help writer who has written for Harvard Business Review, Vogue, Teen Vogue, Fast Company, CNBC, Nature, Science, The New York Times, and more. She is a wife and a mother of three and hopes to raise her children to understand the importance of supporting others in need. She is also the co-author of Micro Skills, Small Actions, Big Impact. Her co-author is also Risa, I hope I'm saying her name right, Risa E. Lewis, MD. So welcome, Dr. Adara.
Thank you for that fabulous introduction. That was perfect. Okay, I'm so great. Excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited that you're here. Thank you again for taking time out to speak with me about this, because I really believe that mentorship is important, and people don't know how to gain a mentor, the impact it can have on one's career. And so I definitely want to dive into that with you.
So I'm so excited.
Actually, before we get started, do you want to share anything? Tell me about like how your weekend was. Let's like start casual, get this.
Well, right now is really crazy because I still work clinically. It's a big week for me from like an advisor perspective. So I'm an advisor for a cohort of students within the Harvard Medical School. And this week is like the big week where they find out where they're going to be going for residency. So that's like a lot of energy in my life right now. That's positive, but it's still a lot of energy. And then my oldest is turning 7 on Wednesday, and my parents are flying in to visit. And then what else is going on? Oh, we're preparing for our book launch that comes out next month. And so we have a ton of podcasts and radio interviews, and I'm writing articles. And so I'm busy, but I always do all of this with like an attempt at least at practicing really deep self-care, self-compassion. Yeah. And so, you know, today I was just really tired and I was like, I am going to take a nap. I thought I was going to get through another article, and I'm not, because I need a nap and I'm going to listen to my body. I do things. I do a lot of things to some people. It feels like a lot of things, but I don't do them all at once. I give myself breaks. I have very, very strict boundaries. Mm-hmm. In fact, this podcast itself is violating one of my boundaries, but I know you like to meet in the evenings, so I made an exception, but I usually don't meet in the evenings. I have like a very clear cutoff from 6 to 9 p.m. Where I don't meet. And I don't usually do stuff on the weekend either, because again, that's family time, protected time, my time. So I have a lot going on, but I really try to make sure that I feel balanced while I'm doing it.
That's so important. And thank you again for, you know, stepping out of the boundary of where you normally cut off.
Yeah, of course.
For this podcast. So let's dive right in. In what ways has mentorship affected your educational achievements and entrepreneurial success?
Well, I'll start by just sort of quickly introducing like my back journey. So I grew up in Rialto, California, wonderful parents who taught me everything they knew, but that was to a certain point, because they did not go to a four-year university. They did not go to graduate school. They weren't really working at those like C-suite positions. So in my house, we never talked about mentorship or networking or growing your brand or publishing or speaking. Like that was never a topic of conversation. And so when I was young, I was very studious, mostly because I wasn't athletic or popular. So I had like books to keep me company. And I did well academically. I actually ended up starting high school at 12 and I was accepted to UC Berkeley at 15. Wow. And when I went to college, I was totally lost because I didn't know, like, college, now you're networking. Now you're like leveraging the people around you. Like, that's a big part of college.
Right.
You know, there's some, so there's obviously a lot of other things that are important, but like from like a career development standpoint, it's like getting to know your professors, going to office hours and speaking with your professors and getting to know them and letting them get to know you and asking really deep and insightful questions. Like I was way too nervous to do those things. And so it took me a while to really understand the value of a mentor. And when I did recognize it, you know, I was probably in medical school. I recognized it because my peers had them and they were getting opportunities that I did not have. They were shadowing. So shadowing is like when you follow around doctors. So they were shadowing doctors. They were publishing. They were getting awards and grants, going to conferences. I literally did none of that, or very little of that, I should say. Right. And it wasn't until I was, you know, at the end of my medical school, where a Black woman physician really opened herself and said, "I'm happy to mentor you," that I could really understand that if someone is in a position ahead of you,
right,
who has sort of taken that path, it's much easier because you have some guidebook, some playbook, some route to take. You just follow their footsteps and you know, okay, they did this, so I should do this. They did this, so I should do that. Or they're telling me to do this, so I should do this, right? There's like some instruction there versus like trying to figure it out on your own. And so after that, I saw the benefit, I saw the light, and I learned through a lot of mistakes and errors how to network, how to build a network. And so I would say, you know, it's been very, very helpful. And I'm going to conclude by saying that to me, the most successful people I know are also the most connected people I know. And so it's really important to sort of realize that when you are chugging along, you want to bring people along with you. So it doesn't feel like it's just you fighting this on your own.
Right. That is so important. And I love that that educator saw you and opened her arms to you and you were able to gain that experience of mentorship with her. Mm. I agree that having that, not only building a network and connecting with others and bringing people along with you is important, but also to continue that mentorship. I also wanted, you mentioned something else about learning some error, like from mistakes and errors. What were those mistakes that helped you realize that you weren't taking full advantage of the mentorship opportunity?
Oh, plenty. I mean, so there's awards that I applied to an award maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. So these mistakes are like recent as well. I mean, they were early in my career and also recent. Mm-hmm. I applied to this very, very, very massive award about 5 years ago and did not get it, by the way. And I did it all on my own. Like I just went through the entire application process on my own. Wrote this like 30-page document like on my own and submitted it and did not get selected. And then I ended up having a conversation with the person who ended up getting selected, and I asked her about her strategy, and she had an entire team that she met with months before it was due.
Oh wow.
They came up with like a plan for, you know, it was a research award, so they came up with a strategic plan for her research. They had like an outline that was very detailed. They all read the application multiple times before she submitted it, right? So like, yeah. Very clear difference. It's been about 6 years ago for me. Very clear difference in our approaches and therefore our outcomes. Of course, there are people who are just amazing at everything they do and they can do things on their own and it's fine. But for many other people, that's not the case. And so I think I would fall in that bucket of I do better when I'm supported than when I'm completely on my own. And so that's one very concrete example.
That's a great example because I feel like it's completely different, but like without the support of my family, I don't think I would go for opportunities that I have gone for and have gained. And it just goes to show that when you have that support system behind you and whatever you're doing, it does make a difference.
So thanks. Oh, huge. Yeah, huge. And, you know, we write about this a lot, about the idea of like building a personal board of directors. You know, that's not a term that I came up with. That's been around for a while, but the idea is you really want to build people around you who serve a very particular purpose. Mm-hmm. And so for my personal board of directors, you know, I have people who serve the purpose of, I go to them when I have parenting questions, when I'm feeling like I need someone to help me with my child, or I go to another person for personal finance. Like, how do you invest? How do I save up for retirement? I have someone else I go to when it comes to writing articles. I love their mind. I love how they write. So I'll go to them and ask them to read essays for me. And I will say that as you're building this team, there's always room to add more. Right. Unfortunately, sometimes you take people out. But, you know, for the most part, you're always bringing people onto your personal board. I think, you know, it's not really taught to folks to do this early on. And so what ends up happening is that people will find one mentor and then expect them to do everything for them and right. be everything for them. And that's kind of taxing. And also it stretches their skill set perhaps beyond where they're comfortable. And so now you start falling into potentially getting not the best advice. Mm-hmm. The last thing I will say about this personal board of directors is that you really want people to help you, and you also want to think about how you can help them in return. Right. So there are like many ways in which I have helped the people on my team, you know, nominating them for awards, sending them a thank you note, sending them an opportunity they might be interested in themselves, right. Sending their boss a note of recognition that, hey, this person is really amazing who works for you, and they have been so supportive of me. All of this sort of helps make it so that it feels mutually beneficial to both parties.
Right. That's amazing. I never thought about that. Like, not only what they're doing for you, but what you can do to help them as well. That is so important. Another question. If any, how has the relationship with your mentors impacted how you navigate life's challenges? And I think you kind of touched on that a bit, but if you wanted to expand a bit more.
Well, when I was having, when I started the whole process of having kids, so I have three children. Mm-hmm. They were all born within like a 4-year window, all mm-hmm. three of them. And so I remember when I was pregnant with my first, a mentor of mine at the time said, the next 5 years of your life are going to be incredibly hard, just so you know. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's kind of like forward right. And like maybe negative. But like very quickly after that child was born, I said, wow, that was right. This is already very hard. And I have so many more years to go. And when I got pregnant with the second one and she was born, I said, oh, my God, this is so hard. And so I think actually the reason why that piece of advice, I mean, it wasn't even advice, but just that phrase, that sentence, that warning, whatever, was mm-hmm. so important because it really normalized what happened. So when I think about those 5 years, which have now passed that window, I think back to that moment where someone told me, someone who has achieved a lot, that it was hard for me. It's going to be hard for you, and you will also get through it. So that was actually really helpful feedback that I got right. Early on, and really I think just normalized all of the hardship of being a working parent.
Yeah, I can see that. And it takes I feel like a village to raise children, because I'm an aunt of three, two nieces, one baby nephew, and I can see like how family makes an impact in like being there, babysitting, stepping in when needed. So I can imagine like seeing it and realizing that it's normal, it's not something like crazy to like it happens to other mothers, or that it is something that you kind of mentally can prepare for. So that was a good warning. Sometimes you don't realize the warnings kind of help you breathe a little. Like, okay, this was spoken to me. I'm expecting, you know, something hard, but I'm going to get through it because other mothers have gotten through the first three set of kids and they're doing great.
Exactly. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, we didn't talk about this yet, but someone who comes into your professional, personal life, they can be peer mentors. They can be peer level supporters. I'll use that word, supporters. They can be more senior, and sometimes they're actually more junior, depending on what it is that they know that you don't know. And one thing that gets kind of thrown around a lot is the word mentorship, mentor. But you know, that's kind of like a wastebasket term. I mean, there's a specific word and meaning, mentor. But a lot of people actually need something else, like a sponsor, which is someone who is going to mention your name and nominate you for things and make sure that you get the opportunity you're interested in. Sometimes you need an advisor, which is really someone who's going to give you like very concrete, specific, actionable advice, such as like, take your SATs at this time, or you should apply to at least 15 colleges, right? Like very specific feedback, but there might not be a relationship behind all of those words. It could just be you meet with someone one time for advice. Right. And then there's coaching, where someone could tell you like, hey, Danielle, I have been watching your podcast. Let me know how I can help you as a podcast coach, because I have one myself. I've been doing it for years. I can talk to you about mics, questions to ask, you know, specific things, right? And so that would be very directed guidance based on like a skill set they have that you are seeking to improve. I've used coaches so many times in my life, and they are, to me, like, especially when it comes to writing, the most helpful. And so there's, you know, then there's more words out there, but the idea of like just understanding that the same person can have different roles within one conversation, or a single person could only have one role. And it's just sort of like being aware of these different functionalities, so that when you meet with someone, you would say, instead of saying, you know, can you mentor me on podcasting? You might say, can you coach me on podcasting? I'm looking for very specific skills and tips that you can give me that will make it, from a mechanical standpoint, from a technical standpoint, better.
Wow, I never thought about that. I always thought like, so it's funny you mentioned that, because I was looking for someone to like gain some insights on like best practices for podcasting. And those people are award-winning journalists. So, and of course, I mean, I haven't gotten a response yet, but I imagine maybe I have to reevaluate what I want from them. And you mentioning identifying what it is you need and knowing how to separate them from mentor versus advisor or coach is something that you need to have clarity on. So thank you for mentioning
and
that.
And you don't have to only shoot for award-winning journalists who have podcasts. Like, you could chat with your friend who's been doing it for, this isn't like a conversation specific for you. I'm just talking to you. That's why we're using the word podcast. But for anyone who's listening, whatever skill set you're working on, you know, you can start with your friend who is, you know, really great with personal banking, and you want to be a personal banking advisor. And so you need to learn how to do that. And so in order to learn, you might meet with other people who are ahead of you, even if they're only a year ahead of you. They just started a year ago. They can give you some very basic steps, and their schedule might be more open than someone who was like a financial advisor for Wells Fargo, like an executive who might not have any time to meet with you. So like, there's like a whole spectrum of who you can go to. All they need is a little bit more skills than you, and they're ready to coach.
Right. Wow. Well said. I feel like I'm getting a lot of great gems just speaking to you.
That's good.
So next question, what has fueled your commitment to helping medical students and early career professionals thrive in the workplace? Because that's what your book focuses on. Well, the target audience, I believe, micro skills, small actions, big impact.
Yeah, I mean, I think the driving force was when I applied and started my current position. I arrived and I was the only Black woman in my department for about 6 years. There's some technical clarifications here, because I initially started off as the first and only Black woman as a fellow. And then when I became a faculty, a few years into that, there was another fellow who came in. So at some point there were two of us, but for a long period of time, there was really just me serving as like a faculty role. Mm-hmm. And that put a lot of pressure on me, as you can imagine. Everyone's like amazing, don't get me wrong. No one was blatantly mean to me or toxic or harmful. Everyone was really, really supportive. But you can also in that environment feel isolated and feel under the microscope, feel excluded. You know, even if no one is purposely trying to exclude me, you can just by nature of like having different personal interests, different backgrounds, different cultural practices, feel like you're not fully in the team. I noticed that my peers felt like they were moving ahead faster than I was. They were just achieving things faster than I was. And so I really wanted to create a book that helped others learn the smallest skills to navigate the workplace, because I didn't have a lot of those. Mm-hmm. And it took me many years to sort of absorb them from the environment that I was in. Mm-hmm. And I think my career would have been stronger and faster had I had that early input, that early guidance. And so this book is really for early career professionals who are like, why does it seem like everyone else has it together and I don't? And so we really wanted to create a book that is full of secrets. It's not for physicians. It's not for women. It's not just for Black women. We think it's for everyone, because the advice we give, the skills we give, mm-hmm. really translate to anyone who feels like, why does everyone else have an advantage over me?
Right. Yes. And I think a lot of people can relate, especially the early career professionals who are still like figuring it out, even middle career, like myself. Like there's a lot of relearning that takes place even in a mid-level position. So this book is very important. I'm excited for the launch happening again in April.
April 16th.
April 16th. So guys, keep a lookout for that. And I wanted to, because we just to keep within our time, I wanted to see if there was anything else that we might not have mentioned about mentorship and finding the right team, building the right team around you that we haven't said yet that you want to share.
I think the first thing is to lower your expectations of mm-hmm. what mentorship looks like. I think a lot of people sort of liken it to like you have to be formally partnered with someone, exclusively partnered with someone, and like it needs to be very frequent contact. And then I think that can make people feel a little bit disappointed, because that's not like I have so many mentees,
right,
that it would be really hard for someone to expect all of my time for just them. And right. So I can imagine that someone might feel disappointed to learn that. The second is that social media has been really, really helpful. So yes, I'm part of Forbes Black. You were part of Forbes Black. Mm-hmm. I use that. I use Twitter. I use LinkedIn. And the way I use it is like, I don't really post pictures of like my avocado toast. I don't post pictures of my kids. I'm not trying to shame people who do that. I'm just saying that I don't. Mm-hmm. I am like all in the DMs. Like I just message people and I'm like, oh, I really like your work. Just so you know, I'm interested in similar work. If you ever want to collaborate, or if you ever want to like exchange ideas or run ideas off of me, like I'd be happy to, you know, meet even for like 15 minutes. And that's been really helpful for me. I'm not like a serial poster. Like I don't have many followers, but I feel like I would consider myself still very active on social media. Right. And that's to me is like where I'm okay. Like I don't really want to be like, I don't want people scrutinizing my personal life and stuff. So I'm not looking for that. But, the other thing I would say is like, be okay if people don't respond to you, if you reach out to them, like that happens all the time. And I sent someone a message a couple days ago. Now that I'm a contributor for Forbes magazine, I'm like reaching out to people to interview them.
Right.
And I reached out to someone and like, it's been like 5 days. They haven't responded, 6 days, but like, they're still very active on that platform. So I'm like, oh, I guess they, you know, sometimes people just don't want to do it and that's okay. And they just don't respond. And I don't really take it personally because, you know, we all have different levels of time and,
yeah.
It's just part of the process and you just move on to the next person and you want to not let that get you down. It's not really a personal, you know, reason, especially they don't know you. Why would it be personal? So just sort of normalizing that not everyone's going to respond, but it doesn't mean that you're a terrible person. Those are a few big ones to start with.
Yes. Those are actually very helpful because I am, I'm a big communicator, and when I'm like very interested in like getting to know someone, I reach out and then I follow up, and I'm like trying to balance myself between being too annoying and too persistent enough where they know I'm actually serious about making a connection.
Yeah, so I usually give people like two tries, like the initial and then one follow up, and then if they don't respond to that follow up, I assume they're not interested. Right. You can push one more, but I really feel like after that point, it's sort of it might be too strong. And sometimes you get a little bit of a negative taste to that. That being said, I can think of some very concrete examples where I did push back a third or fourth time and it worked out. So, okay. So you have to like trust your instincts there. I mean, I definitely have had some moments where I'm like, I just need to try one more time. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was on vacation. I'm so glad you reached out again. So like, there are some circumstances where like you might want to be a little bit more assertive. And then there are some where you're like, nah, I don't think they're interested. And so that requires some emotional intelligence, situational awareness.
Yes. So you said, lower expectations of what mentorship looks like, aka readjust it, and reach out to people. Don't be afraid to do that, and don't take it personal if they don't respond. And the third one, just so our listeners can take note of it.
I think the third one was so the second one was reach out to people in the DMs, and then the third was don't be upset if they don't respond. It's not personal.
Okay. Yeah.
A pretty good start, I think, to just sort of like reframing how you see mentorship. And it doesn't have to be this like formal agreement either. It can just like naturally develop through small conversations.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you again so much, Dr. Adara, for speaking with us about this. It's very important. It's something we can all implement in our lives and as we navigate every area, whether it's professional or personal endeavors. So thank you again. And guys, until next time, bye.